This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ. I'm not a doctor.
You're not a doctor. But you would like to be a doctor.
Well, maybe you could take care of that for me.
Okay, we'll work on that, Jim. Well, I'm back from a nice long trip to India and Sri Lanka. Spent quite a bit of time there in New Delhi. And also down in Sri Lanka, we've got a partnership with a school down there in Sri Lanka at Colombo. And an IT school, the largest IT school in Sri Lanka. We've also got a joint venture in New Delhi. We have a campus in New Delhi, actually, with around 300 or 400 students now in India. And so I go there periodically to see what's going on. It was an interesting week while I was there in India. This was the week that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates visited India.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Buffett said he's got his elephant gun loaded and he's ready to buy another company.
Oh, boy.
And actually, his number one advisors actually came from India. He's probably the person who's going to replace Warren Buffett, who's now 80.
Mm-hmm.
So he was there in India. It's his first trip to India, and his purpose was really to work with Bill Gates on their charity work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're working on their giving pledge, trying to get rich Indians to donate their money and give back to the community. We'll talk about the trip of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. They were in the news almost every day that I was there this last week. This last week also was the release of an exciting new mobile application called Color. So people are talking about Color. It's an interesting application. It's actually still kind of buggy now. If you download it now, it'll probably lock up your cell phone.
Oh, great. Perfect.
But it's something worth watching. It's really an interesting idea. And the trend of the week, wristwatches are becoming obsolete.
Well, I guess I wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but you've got a nice big wristwatch on.
Well, it's a fashion statement.
Well,
I see that you don't
wear
one.
It is a fashion statement of some type. That is true.
It's not like people that wear their PDAs on their belts and stuff.
Well, Jim,
that's a different fashion
Jim,
statement.
That wristwatch I would call anti-bling.
It's good to have you back, Doc.
Yeah. The French chess team has used technology to cheat. So we're gonna give a breakdown about how they cheated.
That's pretty funny.
And Microsoft caves into political pressure.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that little caving action going right on. But now it is time for
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, it's a big mailbag this week. We got a letter from Piquette. I don't know where that name came from, but I think it's an interesting name. It must be a French man.
It sounds French to me.
Piquette. Or maybe it's Piquet's. What do you think, Jim?
I think you're right.
Could be Piquet's, yeah. Dear Dr. Schertz, what is the best cell phone to use in Europe? I just found out that my Droid X, that of course comes from Verizon, is no good there. Second question, will the Droid work for data transmission if I am in a Wi-Fi location? Thanks, Piquet's. Or Piquet's.
Piquet's.
Okay, well, Piquet, there are two standard cell phone technologies, two standards, CDMA and GSM. CDMA, of course, stands for Code Division Multiple Access. It was invented by some MIT math professors.
Mm-hmm.
And they then started a company called Qualcomm. And so CDMA is clearly a United States standard. So it is in the U.S. for certain and some other countries that I'll mention in a few minutes.
Okay.
The other standard is GSM, Global System for Mobile, and that is a European standard. So you will only find GSM in Europe and no CDMA, and you will find CDMA in the U.S. Now, it turns out that since Asia is the battling grounds for both the European standard and the American standard, you'll usually find both in all the Asian countries.
Uh-huh.
So if I go to China, I've got both CDMA as well as GSM. If I go to India, I've got both CDMA as well as GSM. GSM is everywhere. If I go to Sri Lanka, it's only GSM and not CDMA. If I go to, say, Doha, where I just came through, they have GSM but no CDMA. So you always have GSM, and sometimes you have CDMA if Qualcomm has actually made the market penetration. The two differences in the technology, GSM uses what they call time division multiplexing, mm-hmm. where they take a time slot. And suppose you want to talk to 32 cell phones. Suppose one tower is talking to 32 cell phones. You divide the window up into 32 little time slots, and each cell phone gets one of those time slots. And so they divide the bandwidth time-wise. It's called time division multiplexing. Now, CDMA uses co-division multiplexing. All the cell phones use all the bandwidth, but they superimpose on the signal a particular modulation or code.
Ah.
And then they have a matched filter that zeroes in on that particular code.
Mm-hmm.
And if you organize the mathematics perfectly, so you only see the signal from one code and not the other codes, mathematically those codes are called orthogonal. That means they're perpendicular to each other. And so you can change one value and not the other.
This all sounds terribly complicated.
I know. Just bear with me, Jim. It doesn't really matter. I'm just trying to get into the little details. And so they are completely different technologies. Mathematically, CDMA has more capacity for more units. So theoretically, it has a slight theoretical advantage. And that's mm-hmm. that's what Qualcomm was selling. But in practice, they're about the same. Now, this is the problem. When you go with Verizon, they only support CDMA. Only.
Ah.
If you go with AT&T, Sprint, or T-Mobile, they are all GSM. Okay, so if you want to have a phone that you can travel with, you need to have, of course, GSM. Now, I'm a Verizon customer, and I travel a lot. So you might ask, what do I how am I going to handle it if I'm a Verizon customer and I need to go both ways?
Doc, how are you going to handle it if you have to go both ways?
Thank you. I'm glad that my co-host finally picked up on the key question.
Well, you had to explain it first.
Okay, I got the BlackBerry Storm that has both CDMA as well as GSM.
Ah, and that's a Verizon product, right?
It's a Verizon product, and so in the country I use CDMA. And then there's a SIM card that I can plug in for the GSM.
Oh.
Now, when they give me the phone, they lock it, so I can only have their SIM card, which means if I go to, say, Sri Lanka and use their GSM SIM card, they give me this really bargain roaming rate of $3 a minute.
Oh, ouch.
And I sign up for that. And if I go to India, they give me the bargain roaming rate of $2 a minute.
This is a bargain.
So I said, you know, Mr. Verizon, I really don't like those rates. So then I thought, I told my wife, I said, look, I'm going to unlock my phone. I was going to log on, and, you know, there are hacks for this thing. I was going to unlock the phone so I could put what I wanted in there, and that was going to be a Tech Talk topic. And she called up Verizon, and they gave her the code to unlock it.
What?
So now, it took all the fun out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It took all of the fun out of it. So now I called Verizon since I'm a long-time customer, and they knew that I wasn't trying to pull some fast one on them.
No, never.
No, never, never. So they gave me the code, and I unlocked the phone. So I can't even say I hacked my phone, but I did get it unlocked.
Wow.
And so now when I go to India, this time I got a Vodafone India card. Last time I got an Airtel Indian card. So I got Vodafone Indian card this time. It cost me about $10. I then charged it up with prepaid with about $20 worth of airtime, and now I can call the United States for 4 cents a minute.
That's more like it.
Down from $2 a minute to 4 cents a minute.
Wow.
And the other beautiful thing in India, it's illegal for them to charge you for an incoming call. So if somebody calls me on my Indian phone number, it's free. I was in Sri Lanka. I got a Sri Lankan cell.
Mm-hmm.
I got from the local Sri Lankan company, Mobiltel, in Sri Lanka, 4 cents a minute to make a Sri Lankan call. I could go home, 4 cents a minute. Verizon, $3 a minute. So I have to say, having an unlocked GSM phone makes a lot of sense. And so actually what I'm waiting for, I did not get the Android X because that was purely CDMA. I'm waiting for the Android phone, which is dual band, has both CDMA as well as GSM. Now, that brings up to the second part of your question. Sorry for all those sidebars, Paquette.
Well, it's important to
know this information. But I had to explain all of the issues.
Right.
The nice thing about many of the new cell phones is that they have Wi-Fi. They have Wi-Fi for the efforts. And And, of course, with Wi-Fi, you can at your hotel, if you've got free Wi-Fi, or you can actually log on to that. And the Wi-Fi is good for data. You can get unlimited data with Wi-Fi because you're not using any cell phone connection. Mm-hmm. Now the problem is if you're at a hotel that charges you for Wi-Fi, your phone is going to be a different device. So if you pay $9.95 a day for Wi-Fi, and then you also want to log on with your phone, it's another $9.95 a day in addition to your laptop. Now, it turns out the place that I was in, the hotel that I stayed at in New Delhi, they gave me free Wi-Fi, so it wouldn't make a difference. But the Hilton Hotel I stayed in Colombo, they charged me 1,800 rupees a day.
And that is in U.S.?
In U.S., the Sri Lankan rupee, 110 Sri Lankan rupees is $1. That was that's $18 a day.
Okay.
Thank you, Hilton. I really appreciated that. And so, if I would then hook on my cell phone to that, it'd be $18 a day. Probably is not worth it. So, if you can get free Wi-Fi, I mean, it really is a very good option. Now, can you make a phone call? Well, to make a phone call over Wi-Fi, you need to have Skype.
And you have that.
I have Skype, but Verizon disables it, so they don't let you.
What?
So they don't let you make a Skype call through Wi-Fi. You can surf the web, but they don't let you make a Skype call through Wi-Fi.
Is there any way around that?
No, because they don't want to lose the business.
Yeah.
There's really no.
But
way.
I mean, you know, a lot of ways around a lot.
Well,
of things.
I make Skype calls from my computer, but I just don't do it with my cell phone.
With your cell phone.
Now, the other thing that I do with Verizon, I get the unlimited data plan. See, this is the other thing. I mean, you could do Wi-Fi, but then I get all my data through CDMA when I'm in India or when I'm in China. So I get the unlimited data plan. If you don't do that, you could really be in for a big surprise if you are, like, listening to an MP3. Like, if I'd want to listen to the Tech Talk streaming radio live over the internet, it'd kill me if I had to pay per megabyte.
Right.
So with unlimited data plan, I pay $69 a month, and I can stop it as soon as I get back, and I get all the data that I can eat whenever I'm in India or China. It doesn't work in the Middle East because I don't have agreements with these guys. You know all this trouble in the Middle East?
Yeah, it
they've kind of blocked the data.
Yeah.
They don't want people to get internet access through their cell phone. So all the data agreements in the Middle East seem to be kaput right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true in India and in China.
I was going to ask you if you ever have any trouble there on the web.
Yeah, where? In India?
In India.
No, I know.
In China, we know. We've talked about that. In India, you don't.
India will filter certain websites.
Mm-hmm.
But in India, the websites that are filtered tend not to be political, but more pornographic.
Ah.
In China, they are political and pornographic.
Gotcha. So there's no fun being had in China.
No, you can't have any fun in China. So there you go. That's probably all you wanted to know. Maybe more than you wanted to know.
But we learned something. I learned something.
About traveling with your cell phone. So I think you could probably, I would wait for the new Droid to come out that's got both CDMA as well as GSM.
So don't travel until then. When is it coming out, do you know?
Oh, yeah, it's coming out. Oh, the other thing I could tell, I don't know when it's coming out. It's soon. I think it's coming out within, it may already be out or it's out the next couple of months. I've been kind of tracking it. The other thing that you can do, by the way, you go to these countries, you can buy a cell phone for about 10 or 15 bucks and just put a $10 SIM card in it. So for like $30 or $40, you could be set up. So, don't despair too much if you got this Droid. Just get a cheap phone. If you buy a SIM card, that many times it'll just give you a cheap phone to go with it.
Gotcha. Now, you've brought something to mind, the new... What is that you got there?
Droid. Oh, this
coming.
Is the BlackBerry.
Oh, that's the BlackBerry. So you're not going to get a Droid. You've been thinking about getting a Droid, haven't you?
I've been looking at the Droid.
Is that is the new one making you think more about that?
I tell you, I do like the Droid. I like the built-in navigation.
Ooh.
See, it is free navigation.
Got a free GPS in it?
I do like that. So I'll be looking very closely at the Droid once they have a multi-band Droid.
Interesting.
Okay, we got an email from Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Dr. Schertz, I'm having trouble with the streaming internet feed from Bloomberg Radio.
Why'd you want to listen to that? I'm kidding.
Yeah, you can listen to the stream from Federal News Radio.
Right,
now, that,
exactly.
That is the way to go. But,
I would agree.
Okay, even though you're a Bloombergie, that'll be okay. We'll still talk to you. The only reason I bought this internet radio was so that I could listen to Bloomberg.
Mm.
It was a Logitech radio. Logitech checks the feed on Bloomberg site, on the Bloomberg site, and they got the same garbled audio. They just went to the Bloomberg site and listened to the real audio feed. I checked with Bloomberg, and they reset the streaming feed and acknowledged that something was wrong.
Ah.
Since there have been several edition times when the radio went silent after I played it for about 2 minutes. Maybe you could shed some light on this and what else I can do to ensure that I get reliable, consistent radio listening. Seems that Bloomberg thinks they're doing the good job, and Logitech thinks it's Bloomberg's issue. Well, clearly I think it is a Bloomberg problem with the streaming. And so what you want to do is ask if you could get a technical email address. Whenever you lose the stream, you could email the techies, and then they could reset it. So you don't, mm-hmm. don't have to go to the help desk and work down through five levels of management before they talk to the guy that's actually working the stream.
Right.
Like here, if we have a problem with our stream, you just email techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll just immediately go in there, and we'll tell Andrew to reset that stream.
And Andrew does.
Yeah, he resets
right
it.
Right away. Lickety-split.
In fact, we double-check whether the stream's working even before the show begins, because we want to have a reliable internet stream.
We care.
So there we go. Let me see here. We got an email from a fan in Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Dr. Schertz, I can't recall any discussion on biometric IT devices prior to the shows. I hope you'll spend some time on this topic. I've applied for two contracting jobs, and both of them and have come into contact with bio IT devices, and I found both encounters to be, well, unimpressive.
Mm.
Today, my new employer told me I had to get my fingerprints taken as part of a security clearance processing program. So there's this place near my office, American Identity Solutions. And for $25, I'm supposed to get fingerprint cards completed and ready to send off to the processing agency. About midway through, the technicians firmly pressing and rolling my fingers over the digital box, he announced that my fingerprints will be rejected. He tells me that once I've received the rejection notes from the processing agency, I'll have to come back two more times at that point. The processing agency decides that my fingerprints cannot be captured. He said my fingerprints have been worn down so much that they can't get a good print.
Oh.
She said I'm 60, and so my fingerprints have worn down, so I can't get a good print. He said, this is a problem. Thanks, a big fan of the show in Bethesda. Well, when I got my clear card not too long ago, they did two things. They did a retina scan and a fingerprint scan.
Mm-hmm.
So more than likely, you could go for the retina scan because usually your retinas don't wear out.
Well, some people do, but
yeah.
Most
now
people,
the
yeah.
now the other thing that that frequently is, you know, when you do this fingerprint, sometimes if you wet your hand or put a little oil, you know, hand lotion on, so there's mm-hmm. some oil in the skin, you get a better print.
Huh.
So I would try that. Ask them if you could take some hand lotion with you just before you do the print,
mm-hmm.
and that will enhance the print. Because when I went in to get my prints at ClearCard, I basically ended up putting something on my fingertips to get just a better print.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe my fingertips are a little worn too because I'm working my fingers to the nub.
I don't imagine you're wearing your fingerprints.
Yeah,
off.
I'm working. Yeah, doing all that yard work.
Yeah.
Washing dishes. It's
right.
You know I'm wearing my fingers are wearing. Out.
I understand.
So, well, these biometric devices, by the way, make things extremely easy. With my, I got the Global Entry program. I joined the Global Entry for my U.S. passport. So you know they got that big passport line. When you come back in the U.S. I go to the Global Entry and they've got a little kiosk there, no line.
Mm-hmm.
I swipe my passport through the read scan through the scanner, and then I hold down four fingers on a plate, reads my finger. Tips, I answer three questions, it gives me a printout, and I'm done in a minute.
Wow.
No line. And I love the fact that hardly anybody gets that global entry program.
I thought that ClearCard was in big trouble. We talked about them a couple of years.
ClearCard's out of business. I wasted my $100 with them, and they went belly up. So now, but the Global Entry works pretty well.
Mm.
The trouble is that it only works when you're coming back in.
Ah.
See, Clear worked when you were leaving. It gave you a quick scan. You could bypass all those long
Global
lines.
Works.
But the Global Entry works only when you're entering the U.S. So
gotcha.
I do like that program.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email from Arnie. Now, Arnie said, hi, Dr. Schertz. You mentioned a few Tech Talk programs ago that Goldman Sachs was investing in Facebook. This article, and he sent me an article that came out in January, that gives an explanation of how the money will be made in the deal. This isn't a Tech Talk question, but it might be a topic of discussion for one of your business classrooms. Thanks, Arnie, in Davidsonville, Maryland. Well, if you recall, I'll give a quick recall, that Goldman's invested $500 million in Facebook in exchange for 1% of the company. Now, this did not go public. They just sort of assigned a value, and they said 1% of the company is worth $500 million. That's amazing, isn't it? 1%.
It is, yes.
Now, they'll resell that to investors, and they get a cut on the action, so they're going to make good money on the deal. Okay, let me explain what's going on here. Frequently before, and using this method, they're allowed to get up to 500 investors investing in Facebook, and when they get more than 500 investors, then they've got to go public. So they're trying to actually have some release of some of the equity prior to the IPO, maybe two or three releases of small amounts. This sets the IPO price.
Mm.
This is a good way to get maximum dollar when you finally do the IPO. So you let out a little bit, set a market value, wait about 6 months, leave a little bit more out. This is doing in India all the time. Sometimes they'll release small amounts of equity two or three times leading up to the IPO. So people are estimating that this is the strategy here. They think they'll be at that 500 investor limit around in 2012. So it's looking like they're on a timeline for a 2012 IPO there at Facebook. Great email, Arnie.
Yep.
Okay,
we love
your
emails.
We love your emails.
Tell people how they can send you a question.
Yeah, you send us a question at techtalk@stratford.edu, and those emails are forwarded directly to me.
And if you just tuned in, we have a replay on Sunday. So, we'll let you know on Saturday when you can hear this program again in case you tuned in late or it's so wonderful that you want to hear it a second time. So, Tech Talk replay is tomorrow at 6 o'clock here on Federal News Radio.
That would be 6 p.m.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because 6 happens twice.
Yes.
Well, I don't care if they listen to 6 in the morning.
No,
too.
They could do that too.
That does us good. You can hear it on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2, and we'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yeah, so today we're talking about Nagavara Ramaro Narayana Murthy.
Easy for you to say.
They call him NR for short.
Or NR Mr. Murthy.
Narayana Murthy. He's an Indian businessman and software engineer, which is why he's appealing to me. He is the founder of Infosys Technologies, co-founder. It's a South Indian outsourcing company, and Infosys is the company that set the standard on Indian outsourcing. So in India, people love outsourcing. In America, they don't.
We don't, no.
He was born into a Brahmin family, a Kannada Madhwa Brahmin family, which is a very high-end family. The Brahmins, really, all of the priests tend to be Brahmins. This is the intellectual class of India in the old caste system. He was born in Mysore, India, August 20th, 1946. It's Mysore, a small town in southern India, just north of Bangalore. It's down in the sort of the southern tip of India. You know, India's kind of pointed at the bottom.
Right.
It's down in the southern tip, down just north of Bangalore. He attended the government elementary and secondary schools, and he got a bachelor's in electrical engineering from the University of Mysore in 1967. And he received a master's in IT at Kanpur in 1969. And he's got an interesting story. His first position was at IMM Ahmedabad. This is Indian Institute of Management, as a chief systems programmer. He worked on a time-sharing system, and he designed and implemented a basic interpreter for the Electronics Corporation of India Limited. After his IIM, he did that under IIM Ahmedabad, had a contract with the Electronic Corporation of India, and he worked on that contract. After he left the IIM at Ahmedabad, he joined Patani Computer Systems in Pune. Now, Pune is up just outside of Mumbai, up in the northwest part of India. And so it was right outside of that area. And then he and his wife, they then ended up moving, before they moved to Mumbai from there, he actually worked at Tata Motors in Pune with his, and he met his wife, and they got married there in Pune. Oh, we have a visitor coming in today.
We do.
Yes.
And I don't know if I want to interrupt this dissertation here. That was, when I heard Tata, I said, am I in the right room?
He didn't say Tata.
Tata. Oh. Tata. Yeah, we are. We can have a small.
I knew that was coming.
Why?
Because you're here.
Oh, okay. I see you've got some gourmet food here for the lunch.
It's encased in plastic.
Tarragon chicken, yeah.
Oh, it's from St. Arbuck's across the way.
Exactly. That was a small loan for that sandwich anyway. Is this the big intro I'm getting? That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
I didn't know you're coming in.
Dave, I've got to tell you, I have not done the research on your media room yet.
What's the deal?
Hang on.
Hey, Doc, I need some help. I'm not the only one this spot who's listening right now. Listen, this is David Bird. I bought a receiver 22 years ago.
Yep.
It's gone. Now, I went into Best Buy, like, it's like Back to the Future.
We talked about this a month ago before he went on his recent.
Actually, I just got back from Sri Lanka and India.
Give him a break.
That's a lot of help for
me. Yeah,
he's been traveling.
So
Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Sri Lanka is not part of India.
No, it's like a little island down at the tip.
Yeah.
Well, he's got business there.
They're already
here. He got biz.
He got biz down there in Colombo.
You're doing the Tiger Tamils University, I'm sure.
They're gone. They wiped them out.
Okay, that's perfect.
They wiped them out. The Tamil Tigers are gone.
Anyway, so you've done no research.
I've done zero research. Okay. But what I have discovered, Dave, I can tell you about my trip to Sri Lanka.
Here we go.
In a Jeep. Mm-hmm. Out in the game reserves, chasing elephants and leopards.
Tigers.
I have discovered, not tigers, leopards.
Looking for tiger blood.
In Sri Lanka.
Okay,
what I've discovered in Sri Lanka, none of the female elephants have tusks, and only 6% of the male elephants have tusks.
You know, Jim, you're going to have a little conversation off the air with a doc.
So it's a tusk-free zone.
It's a tusk-free zone. And so it's one of the mysteries of, because the African elephant, both females and males have tusks.
You know, you need,
so they've lost the tusker gene.
You really need to watch the Animal Channel a little longer, Doc. I mean, even Jim and I kind of knew that one, did we not, Jimbo?
No.
You didn't know that one?
I don't pay attention to elephants and their tusks. I got other stuff to worry about.
Aren't you supposed to be his trusty sidekick? I thought you knew what he knew.
I do it the Larry King way. The less I know, the better off I am.
And the other thing in Sri Lanka, water buffaloes are a big deal. They are everywhere.
That's a huge deal because they're worshipped.
But no, they're used for work animals.
Well, that's true too. They don't work.
Yeah, they work. So. They work. They pull.
Nobody's
the
having a buffalo sandwich.
That's right. No. Okay, David. What I'm going to do? I'm going to do this research. You come back next week.
Okay, I'll come back next week.
And I'll have everything done for you, Dave.
And I'll have your intro ready for you.
And that'll be the intro. Okay,
this is kind of
like a blow off.
I did
for Dave.
Play the intro.
It's a blow off.
It is a blow off.
It's a bird blow off.
Bye.
Hey,
go enjoy that. Can you leave us some of that sandwich? I'm a little hungry. What is it? Chicken salad.
$3 for part of this.
Yeah, I'll send you more information on the Tusker gene, too, Dave.
Please do.
David Bird, everybody.
Why don't we take a break, and I'll come back and get back into Profiles in IT after the break.
This is Tech Talk. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
A According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, five of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge talking technology. And so let's get back to the profiles in IT before we got
sidetracked on the Tusker gene. By Sandwich Boy.
We were talking about Nagavara Ramaro Narayana Murthy. He, of course, is the founder, co-founder of Infosys, and he was the CEO and president for many, many years, their first CEO and president. He was replaced a little bit later by Nandan Nilekani in 2002. Well, he worked at his position at an IIM in Ahmedabad as chief systems programmer, and then after IIM, he joined Patni Computer Systems in Pune. Now, while he was in Pune, he met his wife, and they got married. She was working for a company, Tata Motors, in Pune, which is one of the large Tata is one of the big industrialists there in Mumbai. Then after that, they moved to Mumbai. While he was at Mumbai, he and six of his friends decided to start a company called Infosys. They did it with a big investment initial of 10,000 rupees.
Which is not that much money, is it?
$250 U.S.
Wow.
That was their initial investment. They got together, six other software professionals, and they started this in 1981. At its inception, he invited other engineers to join the company. Murthy served as the founding CEO of Infosys for 21 years, and he was succeeded, as I said, in March of 2002 by Nandan Nilekani. Nandan Nilekani was a former man who we did a profile on IT on.
Mm-hmm.
At the Infosys, he articulated, he designed, and he implemented the global delivery system, which has become the foundation for IT outsourcing from India. And he's the man who started IT outsourcing. As you would expect, Infosys is really headquartered in Bangalore, which is very close to his home. And it was, you know, where the whole IT resurgence came out of southern India. He retired from his position at Infosys on August 2006. However, he continues as the non-executive chairman and chief mentor. In 2003, he won the Ernst & Young World Entrepreneur of the Year Award, and he was nominated that same year as Asia's Businessman of the Year by Fortune Magazine. He's won numerous awards, too many to mention on the air. In November 2006, Time Magazine again voted him as one of the Asian heroes who have brought about revolutionary change in Asia in the last 60 years. He's consistently voted as one of the most admired Asian heroes, one of the most admired business leaders in India, and he's on many corporate boards and advisory councils. After retirement, he and his wife started a new venture capital fund called Catamaran Ventures. He must like to sail catamarans.
It must be.
Yeah. He got the money for that VC company by selling shares in Infosys. Now, these are some of his favorite quotes. And this is an interesting man. And I'm going to go through some of the things in his life that actually were formative in how he runs a company, because he has actually influenced business in India. And I think I need to spend a little bit of time about his philosophy and why he has that philosophy in running a business. Here's some of his famous quotes. Our assets walk out of the door each evening. We have to make certain that they come back in the morning,
mm-hmm.
because his only assets, of course, are people.
Right.
Performance leads to recognition. Recognition brings respect. Respect enhances powers. Humility and grace in one's moments of power enhances the dignity of the organization. It's really a nice thought.
It is, yeah.
The real power of money is the power to give it away.
Hmm.
Interesting. That's, well. That actually ties into what Bill Gates and Warren Buffett were doing in India this week. And he's a data-driven guy. He says, in God we trust. Everyone else bring the data to the table. I thought that was a good one. Progress is often equal to the difference between the mind and the mindset, because he's always dealing with attitudes. What I think we should do is take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and I want to go through the life experiences of N.R. Narayana Murthy, and then after that we'll have the...
We'll do the quiz
after the next segment.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be right back. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. Stand by. More after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University. I want to give some of the life experiences of N.R. Narayana Murthy and how it helped him formulate his approach to business and to people. These are really quite interesting. This is from an interview that he gave not too long ago. Of course, he was one of the co-founders of Infosys. He led them. They probably have in turnover $30, $40 billion worth of business every year. It's the largest Indian outsourcing company, very, very successful in company in that. And let's talk about some of the experience that Murthy had when he was growing up. How did he decide to get into computer science? He actually was a graduate student at IIT pursuing another field, and he had a chance encounter with a famous U.S. computer scientist who was speaking at a breakfast. And at the breakfast, this computer scientist, spoke about new developments in computer science and how they're going to change the world. And the computer scientist recommended 5 papers that he should read about the impact of computer science. He went immediately to the library, read those 5 papers, and that morning he changed his major to computer science. And he said that experience taught him that valuable advice can sometimes come from an unexpected source. So he's always learning from any kind of unexpected source. But of course, how did he decide to become an entrepreneur? Because in business in India was viewed with disdain because it was coming after the tradition of Gandhi that believed that socialism, business is bad, the state should do everything. It was a very socialistic type of behavior. And most of the parents of this generation were really staunch socialists, and they would feel like if you go into business, you would be very low-level person, especially if someone at the Brahmin level, at the very high-end level. So it was quite a change for him to become an entrepreneur. And this is actually what happened. It happened at a border town in 1974, small town between Serbia and Bulgaria. He was hitchhiking back from Paris to his hometown in India, Mysore. Man, that's a long hitchhike.
Yeah.
My God. Okay, a driver picked him up and dropped him off at a railway station at Nice. Around 9 p.m. Saturday night, he was there. He was going to wait for a train to take him some additional distance. And he just slept on the railway platform until 8:30. The restaurant was closed, so he got nothing to eat at all. And in the evening, then the train pulled in, the Sofia Express. He got on the train. There were only two people in the compartment. There was this girl and a boy in the compartment. He started talking up the conversation with the young girl in French. And she talked about how difficult it was to live in an iron country, in an Iron Curtain country, how the police were so difficult on her. And she was more or less complaining about politics and politicians. And in the middle of this conversation, they were roughly interrupted by some policemen who had been summoned by the young man because they were criticizing the communist government in Bulgaria.
Wow.
So the girl was led away. His backpack and his sleeping bag were confiscated. He was dragged along the platform to a small 8x8 room that just had a little hole in the corner of the room as a toilet. And he was held in there without food or water for 72 hours. Mm. He was then dragged out again and told begrudgingly that he would be released 20 hours later upon reaching Istanbul by train, Istanbul, Turkey. And he was being released because he was from India. And at that time, India was a friendly country to the communists. So he was released. So he had this long, lonely, cold journey toward Istanbul. And early morning on Thursday morning, after being hungry for 108 hours, he concluded that communism and socialism were not good,
mm-hmm.
and that entrepreneurship resulting in large-scale job creation was the only viable mechanism for eradicating poverty in society. So this experience galvanized him to want to start a business, even though it was probably not something his family would have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting when you sort of see how people are formed by things that happen to them. So they started in 1981. He and his five friends started Infosys in 1981. This was this experience was in 1974. So
he was 32 or something like
that.
Yeah,
so 7 years later they started Infosys and they worked. They just worked. I mean, it was tough starting. You know, only had $250,
sure.
and they were just struggling. Finally, around winter of 1990, you know, they were just struggling to make ends meet, and they didn't know whether things were going to ever turn around. Somebody offered them $1 million U.S. to sell the company.
Mm.
And I think his five friends, they each went around the room and they said, man, let's just sell this baby. We'll at least get $200,000. They were talking about what they would do with the money. And they were,
it's a lot of money over there.
Yeah, they were really, after 9 years in a business-unfriendly India. India was very unfriendly to business when they started this thing. You know, these guys were just really happy to get some money out of this deal. It finally came around to Mr. Murthy. And he started out by talking about the long journey that they had from a small Mumbai apartment in 1981 that had so many challenges, but that he believed that this moment, even though it was so bleak, that this was their darkest hour before great success. And he said he was so confident in the future that he would buy out his partners and be the sole owner. Now, actually, he didn't have any money, but he just figured he could probably raise the money somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And in the room, there was stunned silence. His colleagues, they looked at him and thought he was like an idiot. And he just sat there and looked at them. And then they started talking. And about an hour later, by talking about what he had said, they all changed their minds and they decided to stick it out. And so what he learned from this is that if in order to build a great company, you must be optimistic and confident, even in the darkest of times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the final saga for Infosys, before I now got into his sort of his lessons from life, in 1995, this was 5 years after their darkest hour, they'd built the company up to about a $5 million turnover a year, and they were negotiating with a Fortune 10 corporation, a large that was doing a lot of outsourcing. And what this company does, it would bring in all the vendors and put them in different rooms at the Taj residences. So they couldn't talk to each other and would go back and negotiate with them and get one concession from one company and then use it with another company. They tried to get them to negotiate against each other. And they were just going back and forth and back and forth. And finally, this customer, and they were desperate because, first of all, Infosys was just a tiny, tiny company compared to their customer. It was only $5 million in turnover. And this customer was 25% of its revenue. So they thought, if we lose this account, you know, it's going to be a huge loss of business, be devastating to the company. It's going to be extremely bad for us. So on 5 p.m. that day, they came in and the company they were negotiating with, they were tough. They made a final offer. And they said, you've got to take it or leave it. And so Murthy looked at it. And he realized that the price was so low that they actually could not deliver a product that they would be happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because I only want to agree to something that I can deliver on, I will not agree to that, and they rejected the offer. Now, that was kind of a turning point for Infosys. They created a risk mitigation council, which made certain that they would never depend too heavily on one client, one technology, one country, one application, or one key employee. So they'd always look at mitigating the risk, so they would never be in that position again. After that, Infosys, with its de-risking strategy, had a source of stabilized revenue and profits. So this is sort of as he built up the company. Now, what did he learn? His lessons in life. See, this guy, I really like this guy because he's very grounded. He says, first of all, lesson number one, learn from experience. It's less important where you start. It's more important about how and what you learn. And it's very difficult to learn from success. But you can really learn from failure, because if we fail, we think carefully about the precise cause. Success can reinforce all of our prior actions, and we never really change anything. So too much success, he feels, is bad. You've got to failure somewhat if you're going to succeed. The second theme in life is that concerns the power of chance events. As he thought back over his life, he was struck by the incredible role that chance events happened. I mean, look at how he decided to select computer science, or how he decided even to get into business. These are both chance events. While turning points themselves are indeed fortuitous, it's how we respond to them that makes the difference. It's the very quality of how we respond systematically to chance events that is crucial. So things happen, and you've got to respond to them right. The third thing he learned is that mindset is everything. A fixed mindset creates a tendency to avoid challenges, to ignore useful feedback. It leads people to plateau out early, like plateau at only $1 million in revenue, and not achieve their full potential. A growth mindset leads to a tendency to embrace challenges, to learn from criticism, and it allows people to reach ever greater heights of achievement. So this lesson came from that time back in 1990 when they almost sold Infosys for $1 million. And he said, look, we could make this a multi-billion dollar company if we just go for it. The next lesson is the power of self-knowledge. The highest form of knowledge is self-knowledge. He believes you've got a self-awareness of yourself that you can ultimately helps you develop a grounded belief system in oneself, the courage to do the right thing, the determination to do the right thing, and humility, which allows you to wear your success with dignity and grace. And the final point, he says, you have to believe that the future is created, not preordained. If you believe that it's just karma, you can't change the future, it affects what you do. He believes that the future is actually shaped by the events that you encounter and by what you learn from them and what you do in response to them. He's walked the path that he's taken, and it's been shaped by several turning points, and his response to them or what makes a difference. And the final lesson that he learned is you have to give back what you've earned to the less fortunate. This ties into the Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. He says, when one day you've made your mark on the world, remember that the ultimate analysis is that we're just temporary custodians of wealth, of the wealth we generate, whether it be financial, intellectual, or emotional. The best use of all your wealth is to share it with those less fortunate. So there's a man who's actually been incredibly successful in India, and I think he's approached business and life in such a balanced way. I want to spend a little bit more time with him, especially after spending so much time in India. Mm-hmm. There is a different way of thinking in India,
yeah,
and it's really worth observing. So after our break, we're going to come back, and we'll do the profile. We'll do the quiz.
So if you're paying attention, the number to call when we get back is 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333 to play the pop quiz here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
You thought this was a radio show.
I'm not sure what it is anymore.
It's a classroom of the airwaves.
Right. Okay.
Classroom of the airwaves. Of course, right. it's because it's wireless, and so we're transmitting all kinds of good information. And if there's a class, you must have a quiz.
Yes.
In this case, it's a pop quiz. If you get the right answer, you'll get two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room. Earlier in the show, I was talking about N.R. Narayana Murthy, of course, is the founder, co-founder of Infosys. Infosys was founded in 1981, and what was the initial investment of the six engineers to form Infosys? You need to give it to me in dollars or in Indian rupees.
All right. If you know the answer, call us now, 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. Dial quickly, time's a-wastin'.
Okay, the French chess team was accused of cheating using high technology.
Oh boy.
The French Chess Federation has suspended three top players for violating sporting ethics at the Chess Olympiad in Siberia last September. I mean, the Chess Olympiad in Siberia. You'd think they'd get a better location than that. But,
yeah,
you know.
Well.
They're alleged to have used an elaborate scheme involving text messages and computer software to win. According to the French Federation, while the international grandmaster, Sebastian Feller, who was only 19, was involved in the game, Cyril Mozzolo followed the developments over the internet because it was streamed over the internet. And he used computer software to establish the next move because he could watch the moves on the internet and then he would then use a computer to predict what the next move should be. This answer was sent by coded message to a third member of the team. The third member of the team would then go into the hall, the competition hall, and sit at a particular table. And he would move to different tables. And depending on what table he was sitting at, it would represent a different square on the chessboard.
Unbelievable.
Isn't this, according to the French media reports, was the most elaborate part of the operation. So he was constantly moving around.
Great.
And I guess they noticed, why is this guy moving to different...
Mm-hmm.
So this alleged strategy was discovered by the French Chess Federation Vice President, Joanna Pomian, who spotted text messages on the mobile phone of one of the three players while the French team was involved in the game.
That's amazing.
A clever use. You know, texting is also used for cheating on tests, too. Texting has a lot of different nefarious...
That was
functions.
The word I was thinking about, nefarious applications.
Yes.
Okay, we have, oops, that's not the right music. We've got somebody on the phone. Let us go to line number one. This is Carol, who is calling us from Silver Spring, Maryland. Hi, Carol.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you? All right, Doc, I hadn't asked the question.
Yes, early this morning we were talking about Mr. Murthy, who was co-founder of Infosys. What was the initial investment that they had in Infosys?
It was $250.
That is correct.
The correct answer, Carol.
Or,
congratulations.
Or 10,000 Indian rupees. Do you listen to Tech Talk very often?
Every Saturday.
Excellent.
Well, very, very
like to
good.
Hear that.
Stay on the line. Give
yep.
your name and address to Andrew, and we'll get those tickets out to you next week.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Carol. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling, and thank you all for listening this morning too. We'll be right back after this on Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Demand is great for IT professionals that can gain a security clearance. According to a recent Federal Computer Week article, federal agencies and private sector businesses that support government contracts can't get enough credentialed people to keep pace with government work. Tremendous opportunities exist for mid-career and late-career workers if they are retrained, particularly if they have had previous military service. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares students to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And the mobile app of the week is Color.
Ooh.
Now, this is the hottest piece of software in the world right now, and it just debuted this last week. It combines social networking, photo sharing, and location determined by GPS. Now, the app invites users to take photos and instantly share them with a micro social network of other color users at or near the user's location. So the idea is that people near you will see what you're doing, potentially leading to all sorts of real-world interactions. For instance, suppose you were sitting at a big, rock concert, and you were way in the back, and you want to take a picture of the lead guitarist. Mm-hmm. There may be somebody in the front row with his cell phone camera that takes this great picture of the lead guitarist. And if he has color on, and you have color, and you connect, his picture becomes your picture.
Wow.
So you can connect to somebody who's close to the action, and you can get a picture.
I'm sure that happens to you all the time, going to a rock concert, being in the back, and not being able to get a picture.
That's always my problem, because I always get the cheap tickets. And then
of course.
I never get
the free tickets is what happens.
Yeah, I get the free tickets, and they're never, the free tickets are never on the front row, Jim.
Really? I didn't know that.
Have you noticed that?
I've noticed that. I never get any free tickets anymore.
Now, some people are hailing this as the most innovative piece of software since Google, or other words, as other people have dismissed it as just another app. Now, the man behind it is Bill Wynn. He founded Lala, which is an online music service that was recently purchased by Apple for millions, because it was a very good way to sell online music. Now, for his application, Color, he raised $41 million in VC money, which is not bad, is it?
No.
Now, for instance, the nice thing is, like if you were sitting in your family room and you were like looking at pictures with your cell phone and everybody in the room had color on, they could look at your photo album at your photo folder from their phone.
That's crazy.
So you just share your photos with them.
That's great.
Now, and so it's easy they could actually save the photos from your phone onto their phone if they want, but it's only done in a certain region.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, privacy is the issue. Maybe you might not want people to look at all the pictures on your cell phone. So
exactly.
If the privacy is an issue, don't use it. The app that developed for the post-PC world, as Steve Jobs sees it, it's still in the beta version, still buggy. It'll crash your cell phone. If you want to download it, www.color.com. Hey, show's almost over.
That's right.
Make certain that you check us out at techtalkonline.com. You can sign up for the podcast, and make certain to send us an email at techtalk@stratford.edu. And, of course, don't forget about Stratford University. They sponsor us. Go to www.stratford.edu and let them know that you heard about them on Tech Talk.
And the replay, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. See you next week.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
Baseball on the radio at 1 o'clock. The Nationals play. Caps hockey on the air against Montreal at 6 o'clock. Sunny today, high near 50. It is 35 degrees at 10 a.m.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by